took for Hope on Haven Hill, which is for a local community outreach to help females who are struggling, who are homeless, addiction, and either are pregnant or have a young child, give them an inpatient place so that they can have treatments and grow and be taken care of. And that's a local outreach we wanted to take part in. And also, Oaxaca, Mexico, building earth block homes and taking care of the community down there. We have a mission trip going down there in February. And so we took this Christmas Eve offering, and usually it kind of finished with Christmas Eve, then one week afterwards people are like, oh yeah, I want to continue finishing that up. Last year was amazing. You guys came together and gave over $19,000 the year before to help do the earth block homes in Oaxaca. And I want to tell you, my heart just bubbles with joy when I get to be up here and talk about these things. This group came together in the church and said, we want to continue to do that. So you guys raised, giving back to God, over $23,000 this year. It is awesome. It is so exciting for me to be part of a church that goes, we want to take care of people. We want to help. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus to this world. That's an amazing thing. So thank you so very much. We're excited. We're excited to contact these groups and say, hey, here's the money. It's coming. It's heading your way. Do good things with it. We're excited to see how God's going to use it in your hands. So that was really awesome. Also, you may not have heard of it, but on January 1st, we did something called Coats for the Cold up in Farmington at Grace Place. And you might not have heard of it because we didn't really promote it much, because this was a group of people who came back from the New York City trip that did the school evangelism class, went down there, met the homeless, were giving out coats, taking care of them, and they said, why aren't we doing this right here? So they joined together and said, let's do it on January 1st. Let's come out in the morning, cook soup, have clothes for people, give coats, mittens, hat, and everything. So they group got together, said, let's do that on January 1st up at Grace Place on the new year. They had over 34 families come through. They gave over 154 items of clothing out to people. They fed them, and they had a great time of talking, sharing the good news, and just loving on people. So it was a great event that just took place as well. Last thing I want to talk about is I wasn't here last week. I got sick, of course. You know, usually most people after the holidays, they go, and then they're sick. So that was me. I wasn't here this last week, so I didn't get to talk about Christmas Eve service, but it was an amazing service. It was absolutely gorgeous. It's great to get everyone together. We had almost 1,150 people show up for those two services. It was huge. It's an opportunity to share God with others, to share the good news with people, and we got to do that. We got to just come together as a community and say, this is what it looks like, loving God, loving each other, being there together. And it was for me, I love Christmas Eve service. It's probably one of my favorite services to be a part of. It's just so much fun. We have a lot of friends and family come. But this one was also extra special for me because, honestly, the year before that wasn't a great Christmas Eve service for me. Because the year before that, I don't know if I shared with everyone, but the year before that, right before Christmas Eve service, a couple days before, I was working on a Eagle Scout project with an Eagle Scout helping him finish a project, and I got a piece of wood that cut across my eye. And I ended up being in the hospital and having an eye patch on, and I had to wear the eye patch for like at least 72 hours, and 72 hours ended at the start of the sermon for Christmas Eve service. So up until backstage, I was still Pirate Kelly getting ready to come out. And then when I took it off, I don't know how many of you had stood on a stage with bright lights in your eyes. I was crying, and I tried not to, you know, just go like this, and people were like, it's tearing up, but, you know, I couldn't see. I went into the emergency room, and they actually did an eye test on me, and I did an eye test, and my right eye was like perfect, beautiful vision, no problem. But I looked at the left one, and I couldn't see anything. It was just this blur out in front of me. And they're like, your vision right now in your left eye is like, you know, instead of 20 over 20, like 200 over 20. It was really bad. So it was a really tough sermon for me to give because I couldn't see you guys and I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, I think people are here, but let's find out. So this one was much better and much easier to do because I could actually see. And because my vision had returned to 20/20, right? All right. All right. If you haven't noticed, okay, you're getting ready to see a lot of things this year because the year is 2020 about vision, right? You're going to see vision sermons online and like Vision 2020, you know, like here's the vision for you, what's going on. It's you know, one of those things. You're going to see vision everything this year. It's 2020. Just be ready for it. So we said, of course, well, we should jump on the bandwagon as well. But we didn't want to do like a 2020 sermon series on going, hey, what's our vision for the future? Hey, what's the vision we have coming up? Or any of those things. We said, well, if we're going to be looking at perfect vision 2020, then it shouldn't be about our vision. If we're going to be talking about 2020 vision, perfect vision, it should be God's vision for my life, right? It's not about what we see, it's about what does God see for us. So we wanted to take this time, this sermon series, to look at what it has to have 2020 vision, to have God's perfect vision for our life. And what does he want for my life? What does he want us to have? And we're going to be going through different things that shows in the Bible, this is what God wants for you. This is why I came for you. So this first week, we're going to talk about the first part of this, and that is being saved. Now, if you are newer at Grace, and you're like, you know, I'm kind of new to the whole church thing, you may sit there and go, I don't really know what it means when you guys say you're saved. Saved from what? Are there like bears out in the woods or something? Like, what are you saved from? What's happening here that you need to be saved? And if you've been at Grace for a while, or other churches, or Christian most of your life, you'll probably go, oh, I know what it means. No, salvation. Saved from, you know, certain things that God saved me. So if you already go, yep, I already know what it means to be saved, don't tune this out, okay? Don't tune the sermon series out. Don't turn out going, oh, it's the message of salvation, which good, but man, I've heard it 100 times. Because we're going to be looking at it from a little different standpoint. Not just what it is, but why. Why do we want it? Why does God want it for us? And so when we start with talking about salvation and being saved, we have to really look at going, well, what does it mean to be saved? What are we saved from? And why do I need to be saved personally? And so when we look at those things and we look at salvation and what it means to be saved, it's heard from what we should be that being saved, it's good for you. What we want to have, we want to be saved from something that is bad. Anytime someone's like, oh, they need saving, it's because they're in a bad place and they're having bad things happen. And they're in a place of desperation, or they're drowning, or they're in a fire, or something else. They needed to be saved from the chaos around them. And that's what we need in our lives, salvation. And so we go, what are we being saved from? And we can look really easy what it is to be saved from. It says in Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. It's sin. Sin is what we need to be saved from. It says in Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And then it says in John 8:34, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And I will tell you right now, this is bad news. Sin is bad news. And we sit there and we go, we've all sinned. Sin is death. And if you sin, you now become a slave to sin. Think about those words for a minute. A slave to sin. As soon as we sin and we're born in the world with sin in our flesh because of the fall of man, and we have sin in our life, and sin means to turn away from God, to do the opposite of him, to offend him. That God says, here's the perfect way, and we go, I'm going to do it this way instead. That's sin, and it separates us from God. It separates us, our relationship from him, and from him being able to work on our life, because there's this block that God goes, I can't have that because I'm holy and I'm perfect. And that is not. And so sin separates us from God. And sin is bad news because that separation destroys us. In fact, where it says you're a slave to sin. To be a slave to sin means it's the master of your life. It means it controls you. It tells you what to do, and it rules you in every way. And when you sin, it continues to draw you away from God and continue to point you in the wrong direction. Now, this is bad news because it means our lives are really not complete. Our lives are over. Our lives are separated from God. But there is good news. And the good news is that God made a way for all of that to be repaired. God made a way for us to be saved. For us to be saved from that slavery to sin and changed into something new. It Through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. You are set free from it. It's no longer the master of your life. If you call on Jesus' name, he gives you forgiveness, and you are set free from sin. It also says in Romans 11:6, and since it's through God's kindness, then it is not by their own good works, for in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. It's nothing we can earn. It's what God has given us. It's free and undeserved, but he gives it to us anyways. And that says in Galatians 2:16, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. We see all this and we go, okay, salvation is not something that is sitting there going, I earn it. Salvation is not something that you can say, well, I'm going to save myself. No, it's recognizing I can't save myself because I'm in this place. I need an outside force to save me from myself, to remove this master that is sin from my life and replace it with something that is holy, true, and good, and right. The most important part of salvation, and this is important for all of us to remember, whether you've been a Christian for 75 years or you're still sitting there going, I'm thinking about it. Salvation is a free gift. Salvation is a gift that is given by God. It's a free gift. It's nothing you have earned. In fact, salvation is given, not earned. You can't do enough good to be made right in the sight of God. You can't do enough good to wipe out. That's not how forgiveness works. God says, you can't do it, but I will. I will come down. I will take on your sin that I don't deserve so that the price can be paid for it. And you will take on my righteousness, which you don't deserve, so that you can be made right with God. Being saved is one of the most amazing things that can happen. Because it means that you remove the master that is sin. You stop being a slave to it. And God changes your heart and says, now I live inside you. So guess what? That's not the master of you anymore. What is right? What is true? What is good? What is holy? What is pure? The things that Ali talked about. Those are the things that he wants in our lives. And it takes salvation from God for us to have those things. Now, here's a really important point that I want us to remember. And I think sometimes we miss this or don't fully understand it or it gets kind of brushed over as we sit there and go, the whole point is getting to the point where you're saved and then you're like, woo, I'm saved and now I look to heaven. That's not it. We're missing the whole chunk of life. And the reason is because salvation and being saved is not the end point. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of our life. You have salvation. You have a new life. A new life that is created in Christ. And so that gives us the question then of when we're talking about salvation, why does God want you to be saved? And this is the most important part. You talk about salvation and say, God wants all people to be saved. That's great. It's not just so you're saved. There's something that goes with that. And it's blazed out very clearly in the Bible through many places what those things are. And we're going to look at a few of them here. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It says in Romans 8:17, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. In Ephesians 3:14 through 19, it says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven pray that from his glorious limited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See, God doesn't just say, hey, I want you saved, and that's the end of it. Good job, you're saved now. No, he says, there's a reason I want you to be saved. There's a reason and a purpose I have for your life. And if we look at that and say, why does God want to save? It was laid out right in those verses. The first thing is to do the good things he planned for us. God is for us, not against us. We just sang those words. God is for me, not against me. He has good things planned for your life. And he goes, I know that can't be accomplished unless I'm in it. And the only way I can be in it is if your sins are forgiven, if you're saved from them, so our relationship can be made whole again. I have good things planned for you. Good things that I want you to do. A life that I want you to lead. I have a purpose for you right here and now. When we get saved, we should be looking to heaven going, I want that relationship with God in his presence in heaven. But this life should be the image of that. It should be heaven on earth, living in us, living through us. God has good things planned for you. They said, if you don't have a relationship with me, how do you even know what those are? How do you know what those good things I have planned for you are? He wants good things for us. But he also wants to share his glory. Said we get to share. If we are heirs of God, if we've been adopted as children, you're no longer sitting there an orphan going, I don't belong to anyone, and slave and sin rules my life, I'm a slave to it. No, now you're a child, you're an heir of God. You get the benefits that come from him. What his kingdom is becomes your kingdom now. You get to share in his glory. You get to share in the glory of God. Think about that. Think about what it means to share the glory of the Creator Almighty. Of a God that can just think and speak and things become existence. That his words make reality. That whatever his plan is the plan that's going to happen. Because he's God. We get to share in it. We are heirs and co-heirs of that existence. It also says that he wants to save so that we are made complete. That we may be made complete in him. When God created us, he set up a perfect world, a perfect life, a perfect relationship for us with him. And when we sin, when originally sin happened, and then sin in our life, we break from that plan. We're no longer complete. We're missing something. We're missing the part of God that we were created in his image, that God that is living inside of us, that is part of our very soul and part of our very existence. And he says, if you are saved, I can live inside of you again because that sin won't separate us. And you get to be made complete. You get to be made whole. I don't know if anyone here has ever struggled with, like, had a surgery or had something where they've had to have casts on and you're walking around and you're limping or you can't use your arm and you're on crutches or all these different things and you sit there and go, I just want to be able to use my whole body again. I'm tired of having one foot like this all the time, right? Why is that? Because you recognize I'm missing something. There's a part of me that's held back because it's not whole. It's not complete. Well, guess what? Your life in this world without God is not complete. You don't have the purpose you were set out to do because you're missing the most integral part of it, God living inside you. He wants you saved so that he can complete you. He can let you share his glory. You can do the good things he planned for you. And also, so you can have a full life. You can be full of life and have God's power inside. of us, like I said, look, if I'm saved, there's eternity afterwards. And we want to look to that. We want to look to a time forever with God, but not miss this life right here. God wants us to have a full life, an enjoyable life. I know as I was younger, I've always enjoyed nature. I've enjoyed looking at it and seeing it. But now as I have a close relationship with God and I look at these things and I go, look at what he's made. Look that ice falls from the sky and we're suddenly covered in stackable ice. Like all these neat things that he does. All this beauty he has looking out at the mountains and looking out at the sunsets, everything. It's gorgeous. I want to experience this life to its fullest. We want to have God's fullness inside of us. It said, you are a masterpiece. God's masterpiece. If he created all this and create that beauty and then said, I'm putting this you in here for you to enjoy this, that means he's saying, you're my masterpiece. Of all of creation, you're the final product. I had something here that is special and different. And I see beauty. We sang this morning another song. I love it when all the songs line up with the sermon. It's really, really exciting for me. But God said we're creating his image, right? There's a fullness in it. We're his masterpiece. We are his creation. We are who he says we are. Right? It's not who I say I am. It's who God says I am. And he says, you're it. You're the reason I came. You were worth saving. So you're my master. See, God wants us to be saved. He said God wants all people to be saved, to be brought to him, to be brought back, to be made whole. Not all will choose that, but it's what God wants for our life. And he wants that because he recognizes without that salvation, you don't have meaning. And you need me, he says. You don't even understand it, but you can't exist without me. And when we're saved and God becomes a part of our life, you start to see that. You start to go, I'm not complete without him. I'm missing something. And when we're saved, amazing things happen. We are full of life. We get to enjoy this world around us, get to enjoy the beauty of it, have a full life that God says, this is what a full life is. It's not health, wealth, and prosperity. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich and it's all going to be perfect and everyone will be healthy. No, he said, there will be times where it really sucks. It will be very difficult. You will go through tough times. But guess what? If I'm in your life, I'm bigger than those tough times. And if I'm in your life, that's what makes you full. See, we start to see that God's vision for our life is probably not what we see as a vision for our life. God's vision for our life is where he can have a relationship with us. Where we can have a relationship with him. Where we can be full of him. Where God's power is coming through us. God says, I'm giving you my power. It will live inside of you because I live inside you. We can embrace that. We can own that. It's a promise from God. And when we're saved, we can have that full life. We can be made complete. We can share his perfect glory. We can do the good things that he's planned for us long ago. God has a purpose for every single person in this room. Every single person in this room, he wants to see you have a relationship with him. He wants to see you be made complete. The first step to that is salvation. The first step to that is being forgiven your sins. And guess what? You can't earn it. You can't do good enough. None of us can. Doesn't matter how many good things we do, it can't erase the bad. He says, you don't need to. I'm going to do it. I will give it to you free right now. Just call on my name. Believe in me and it's yours. All of those things are yours. And I will change your heart. And then you will understand what it means. You will understand what it means to have a relationship with me. You will understand what it means to be made whole. Be made complete. Be made in my image. This is the first step to understand what it means to line up with God. we go through these following weeks, we're going to look at more things that he has for us, going, okay, he doesn't want me just saved, just so I'm complete. Now he has a purpose for me, and this is a purpose, and this is a purpose, and I can live it. And it can be full. I can do what God wants for me. But it all starts with salvation. It all starts with being saved because he wants good things for us. Let's go ahead and pray together. Dear God, we do not deserve your gift. And Lord, many times I sit there and I go, I don't deserve it at all. I don't deserve anything you give me. And the truth is, I don't. And we don't. We don't deserve it. Yet you choose to give it to us anyways, God. You choose to call us your own anyways, despite our rebellion. Despite our offense against you. Lord, it's the greatest gift you could ever give is yourself to us. Lord, repairing that way that we cannot repair on our own. Lord, I pray that we would remember that every single day, that you came to us so that we could have a relationship with you, so that we be more full and more complete, so we could be made perfect in your image, God. Lord, for those of us who have already accepted that gift of salvation, I pray that we remember that's just the beginning point. Now you want to do a good work in us. You want to edify us, lift us up, point us in the right direction. Say, go. And Lord, for those of us who maybe haven't accepted you yet, I pray that you would impress on their hearts what it can be to have a full, complete life in you. What it can be to have you living inside of us. For you to be in their heart. To change their mind. To change their very existence. To be the masterpiece you created us to be. Lord, I pray that they would know that all they have to do is call on your name. Say, Jesus, I accept your forgiveness. I accept you as the Savior. The Savior for my slavery.